All right. Welcome to the Critics Club. Tonight, we're going to be doing the top 10 adaptations. What does that mean? It means that it's the top 10 adaptations.
Wow.
It can be, just so we're being clear, it can be top 10 video game to movie adaptation, top 10 book to movie adaptation. I suppose you could have done a play if you really wanted to, or were bougie. But yeah,
I did top 10 Dick Cheney fan fiction adaptations. Is that okay?
You are the only one I know that has like such a deep fascination with Dick Cheney.
I have a deep fascination with Dick Cheney having sex with other presidents. That's my fascination.
Do you have like posters just hanging up above your computer?
Yeah, I have a deep fetish of getting shot in the face by Dick.
Wow. Well,
and now we are banned in 7 countries.
I was about to say, actually, this is going to sound awful. Is he still alive?
He is.
That's a good question. Is he?
Shockingly, he is.
Wow. I figured he'd be like, you know, Crypt Keepers or something.
He probably looked, he wasn't a spring.
Well, you know what? I would say he was probably about the same age, if not slightly younger than George W. So yeah, that makes sense.
How old do you think George W. is?
I want to say George W. is probably late 60s.
No, George W. is currently 79 years old.
Yeah, is he really that old?
Yeah, Dick Cheney is 80. Hold on, I literally just had this pulled up. 84. So yeah.
Sick.
Well, of course, we're not here to talk about that time.
Old people.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the top 10 adaptations, and it's David's turn first. So I'm gonna eat my blood orange mochi in peace while I listen.
Yeah. All right, here's what I just ate, and I'm obsessed with it right now. Taking a plantain, cutting it up, throwing it in the oven, on the stovetop, roasting it up, and putting a little Mexican crema and some cotija cheese. That's my current favorite food.
I'm surprised, like, I feel like they would be better like air fried though.
I don't own an air fryer.
Technically, this is the trick that no one really tells you. If you have an oven with a convection setting, it's pretty close to an air fryer.
Right.
So pretty fucking close. That's how my toaster oven says that it's an air fryer, because it's got a little tiny fan that spins up in the back. You okay, David? Did you die?
No, I'm just amused, y'all. It's just kind of funny what you think is like hidden knowledge to me.
Well, it's not hidden knowledge. He just said he ate something delicious. Not that it was like
recipe. Talking about like oh, did you know that convection ovens are actually kind of like air fryers?
I mean,
like, yeah.
Listen, that is the power of marketing.
I mean, that's all it is just an air broiler, if you really want to get down to it. But, you know, convection broiler is actually technically what an air fryer is. But what do I know?
Apparently you know a lot about kitchen appliances.
Well, considering I sold them at one point in time in my life and also did work professionally in kitchens. Let's go with movies that I chose for conversion of one medium to another.
That's a great way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
That is a pretty good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
This was me just trying to come up with spacing to figure out where I put my list. All right, let's go. Number 10. Back from the Dead. Of many of the lists that I have, it's basically the greats. Pretty much, apparently only watch conversions, because I pretty much I feel like I've talked about every single one of these movies at least at one point between our many, many, many episodes.
It's not going to be like a let's discover movies list.
It can't be.
I think for the exception of my number 10, I've talked about all of these movies before.
There might be one or two that I haven't said anything about, but I doubt it. So for me, number 10 is Ready Player One. It was released back in March 29th, 2018. The source material is actually a book, Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
Book.
Great book. Awesome audiobook. Great movie.
Yes.
I've been obsessed with this whole thing for a few years now. I blame one of our friends for introducing it to me, and I can't stop any medium of it, actually. I'm ready for Ready Player Two. It's been
no.
Look. I think y'all need to rehear it in Wesley Crusher's soothing voice.
No, David, not even Will Wheaton could save it, because that's how I listened to that. And Will Wheaton could not save Ready Player
Two. I liked the book, though. I actually liked
it. I hated it. I also didn't really like Armada, Ernest Cline's second book.
I didn't like Armada either.
Listen, just specifically, like, for whatever reason, Ernest Cline, well, I mean, I know why he did it, because he's a fucking pervert, but for whatever reason, he was just like, I have no basis for that statement. Other than what I have to say is that he was just like, I really like Artemis. I'm going to write about fucking having sex with Artemis for like the first five fucking chapters of Ready Player Two.
And then it was like him being like all sad and depressed for like most of it. Yeah, you know what? It was a little too emo for me, but I'm hoping.
Here's the reason why I'm ready for fan fiction.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And here's the thing: the reason why I'm excited for, I'm hoping Ready Player Two does come out, and I hope that it because Ready Player One also does not fully faithfully follow the book. There's a lot, and Ernest Cline, you know, wrote the story for this movie differently, and I think it evolved, and I think it was better, and I'm hoping the same thing will happen with Ready Player Two, where, you know, it's not just written by him, you know, they use it as source material, and this is one of the few times where I'm okay with them taking a few liberties in doing things for the sake of movies.
I'm always okay with that. I always am fine with that.
There's some things that I don't mind them taking liberties with. Other things I'm a little bit more sketch about, especially when it comes to TV shows. There's certain things that I think, you know, should be, some things need to be lore accurate. Other things I can see where you could take some liberty, like, okay, you know what? Instead of this character being a specific race, let's go with a different race because it was never specifically stated such things, and you know, whatever, that's fine. I don't mind that so much. It's when you sit there and you change the character entirely from what it was, that's when I start having issues.
That's what the author himself did by changing. Oh yeah, by the way, spoilers for anyone who hasn't read Ready Player Two. I feel like that's what they did with shit, what's the guy's main fucking name? I forget.
Are you talking about who?
Oh, who's the guy who created this? The smart one.
For some reason I wanted to say J.J. Abrams, and I know that's definitely wrong. But it's something like that.
James
Halliday.
Halliday.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah, they made him into like this weird fucking, I don't know, man. I didn't like, and two,
it's because he wasn't himself. So the whole idea behind it was like, okay, again, we're going into real spoiler territory here. Ready Player Two, Parzival goes they win the contest. They're multi-billionaires. They find this new technology that basically scans your brain, allows you to fully immerse yourself into the Oasis with real-time feedback, meaning you can smell the smells of the world. You can touch everything, feel everything. There is no delay in feedback. It's basically direct information from your brain to your to the device. And so essentially it's kind of like living, transplanting yourself from one body to the virtual body. One of the things that they kind of went into, because I've listened to the book multiple times and it took me a while to really understand some of the nuances of it. Halliday himself, the recreation of the character is actually a brain scan of, and what Halliday did was he realized that he's actually has different mental, he's basically a psychopath, and he knows that about himself, and he tries to remove those personality traits from his Oasis avatar, I can't remember what they called it. And I know somebody's probably yelling at the screen right now, trying to tell me the right words. but essentially, what you see in Ready Player Two isn't the actual Halliday. It was the Halliday before he started realizing he was a monster, before he realized before a lot of character development and growth, right before his death. So that's why he's so much different and even more like unhinged.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where like Ready Player One was a good standalone story. You know, I feel like they were making the movie and he was just like, you know what? I'm going to cash in on this.
I agree. I don't think Ready Player Two was necessary. I think Ready Player One was perfectly fine the way it was. That being said, number nine, another great movie. This one is called Crazy Rich Asians. It was released in 2018. I love this movie. John Chu is the director. And it actually is also another book adaptation of the same name, Crazy Rich Asians, by Kevin Kwan. And yeah, phenomenal, phenomenal movie. My wife absolutely adores the movie. She got me hooked on it, and we've seen it multiple times. I love it. Great movie.
I was not expecting that one.
Really? Every time I say the movie, you always are like, huh?
Forgive me for saying this, but it is not like, it does not fit your profile of movies that I
know. Oh, I am so sorry that I'm a multi-layered human being. I'm like an onion. And you know how onions have layers?
Oh, gee, is that on your list? Somewhere?
I don't think that's an adaptation. Let's go with number eight. Oh, well, no, my bad. Number eight, The Devil Wears Prada. Fuck.
Hey. What the fuck is happening? What is happening right now?
Wait, you're saying it's a terrible movie?
No. God damn. All right, just keep going. Wow.
Released back in 2006, summer 2006, The Devil Wears Prada is actually another adaptation of a book by Lauren Weisberger. Or maybe it's Weisberger. I'm not quite sure. Apologies for saying your name wrong. But yeah.
Are you excited about the sequel?
Yes. I am super excited to see Mel Streep. Yes. It's going to be great.
This is Anne Hathaway. This is genuinely baffling. Are you going to have Princess Diaries on here too?
No spoilers. okay, so here's a couple ones that I'm pretty sure we all share. Number seven for me is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. J.K. Rowling, great first book, great first movie. I really felt like I was transported into the book. Again, there was a couple liberties taken from the source material, but yeah. I mean, fuck, if you're not in Hogwarts in that movie, I don't know. You're dead inside. Number six, The Godfather. One of my favorite movies of all time. It was released back in 1972. Yeah, it's another book. Once again, same title, The Godfather, written in 1969 by Mario Puzo. Number five is Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Again, source material, same thing, same book, 1954, J.R.R. Tolkien.
I thought you were about to say George Railroad Martin, and I was about to say.
It's also 1953.
No, 54.
Oh, my. Wait. Yeah, no, it's, you're right. I'm sorry. It's Fellowship and Towers, both in 54. Return of the King in 55. I shifted it weird. Okay, my bad.
I forgive you. I forgive you.
Okay. It's the same year my dad was born.
Anyways, number four, The Princess Bride. Released back in 1987. Yeah, great. Another great book. This was a book by William Goldman back in 1973. And
also wrote the script.
Good stuff. Great classic. If you haven't seen this movie, what the hell's wrong with you? Watch it. Watch it now. I'm watching you. Watch it now. Number three, Jurassic Park. One of my favorite movies of all time. It was released back in 1993. And I remember feeling those stomps. It's amazing stuff. Michael Crichton was the author of this book back in 1990. I believe I can't remember the exact timeline. I can't remember if I read the book first or watched the movie first. But I did watch and read both of them well past, I believe, the movie, the actual movie release in theaters. So I can't tell you which one came first, but I know that both are phenomenal. Both completely different mediums, even though they're very, very similar. I encourage anyone who hasn't read the book, go ahead and read it. This one is another callback from another list, but this is one of my favorite movies as well. And it's technically not from a book. Number two is Edge of Tomorrow, released back in summer of 2014. This is actually based in a Japanese light novel by Hiroshi Sakurazaka, and the title of this light novel is All You Need Is Kill, back in 2004. Huh. So if you haven't checked it out, it's a great light novel, a good read. And my number one movie, can anyone guess?
Die Hard.
No. Although I would have done, I thought about it. Jim, any guesses?
I'm looking at my list and I don't think you're going to have maybe The Shining.
No.
Well, can you give us the genre?
Yeah, of course. The genre, action. Possibly a spy thriller.
James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah, but which one? Which one?
I'm going to go with Dr. No.
I'm going to go with Casino Royale.
And Jim is correct. Casino Royale, released back in 2006, directed by Martin Campbell. Ian Fleming wrote the original novel back in 1953, titled Casino Royale. Wonderful book. Even better movie. Daniel Craig, you will be missed.
Well, I mean, he's Die? Not dead.
Oh. No, he's not as in dead. James Bond, you fucking...
I'm not really... The people that are rattling around for Bond aren't really doing it for
me. I thought they picked one.
No, they haven't picked one yet.
Oh.
They picked the director. Denis Villeneuve is going to be doing it after he does Dune Messiah. But yeah, no, that's not out yet. Or rather, the casting isn't out. It's been a weird. It's been like, obviously 2025 is a weird fucking year, but like Doctor Who isn't like, they're not sure if that's coming back. James Bond, we're not sure. We haven't been known about that since No Time to Die.
Oh, did you hear the rumor about potential approach of what's his name? Tom Holland.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like Tom Holland for it, and I don't like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I don't know who the second one is, but
Kick Ass.
Oh yeah, no. I can't stand Tom Holland.
I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man, but anything else I don't like him in. It's just, I don't know. Bless that kid.
I think they need to find somebody unknown. I think that would really help.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, at one point I would have said Idris Elba, but he's too old now.
He's definitely gotten, the age isn't going to be.
How old was Timothy Dalton when he started as Bond?
Timothy Dalton Bond. Well, okay. How old do you think Idris Elba was or is?
Probably in his 50s, like mid to late 50s.
No, I think he's in his 60s.
No, he's 52.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Why did I know think he at was one in point, the 60s?
I think at one point, well, I think I'm thinking of Denzel. Idris was at one point definitely keyed in for that. But I think because of the longevity of Daniel Craig, it never ended up, it was just never going to happen.
Daniel Craig started annoying me as Bond because he like openly hated it. That's just, I don't know. I think that's so annoying.
It kind of is.
But at the same time, you kind of get it because like it took up what, 15 years of his life?
Then don't do it. Like, you don't have to do it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he didn't. And I think part of it was just he didn't have as much creative control as he wanted because he had a lot of input, especially over the last two movies.
Well, yeah, agrees with me. He also may have been like locked into a contract for all we knew.
I assume that was the case.
All right, Jim, you're up.
Okay, so I, for the first time, do not have a list of 25. because number one, I did solely choose book adaptations.
Okay,
that's all I picked.
Which I'm just gonna say right now, like it was hard for me to do that.
Really? I had a harder time trying to find something that wasn't a book that I liked.
Well, no, I mean, let me rephrase. I was trying to do not just straight book adaptations.
I knew that I would have a hard time. And so I was just like, you know, and here's the thing, all of these books and movies I've read and seen.
Right.
I didn't like it's, and no offense, you know, if anybody like, yeah, I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie and it's based off of a book. That's fine. I don't give a shit. But like the reason why I don't have 25 is because I wanted to limit it to books that I've read to movies that I've seen. So, at number 10, I'll give you guys a chance to guess. Number 10, the movie came out in 2016. I should have put the director in here. Anyways, I probably won't have you guys guess like I usually do. All right, so number 10 from 2016, Hidden Figures.
Okay.
All right, the book was written by Margot Lee Shetterly. It is partially faithful to the film, obviously the film compresses events and timelines. Characters are more stylized, and it focused on the drama more than it did like the historical sequence of events. But it's excellent. The movie's excellent. I remember I saw it at Alamo. Like Alyssa and I took the day off of work so we could just watch it. And we went and saw it. We were like the only two in the theater. It was nice. That is my number 10. Number 9, movie came out in 1999, book came out in 1996, and the book is by Chuck Palahniuk.
Fight Club.
Fight Club, yep. Mostly faithful in plot and tone, but the film's ending is completely different. And slightly has the film is got like a slightly more optimistic into it when the book does not.
I gotta say, it's one of the rare times where I enjoyed the movie more than the book.
I also enjoy the movie more than the book. I actually, you know, and this is like when I was younger, in my early 20s, man, I loved Chuck Palahniuk. As I've gotten older, like, he's definitely an author for adolescence and, like, becoming, like, a young man. Like, I tried to read newer Chuck Palahniuk books, and same with, like, Chuck Klosterman. I just don't enjoy them as much. And my tastes have changed.
I think it's just, like, par for the course, like...
Yeah.
When you first read stuff like that, you're like, oh, this is edgy and so like
cool. Right. And like, yeah. You know, I read and like early 20s, Jim was I was trying to read the most fucked up shit I could find. And so like I read Haunted by Chuck Palahniuk, which has a brutal scene involving a swimming pool and intestines. I'll let you guys figure that out.
Slip and slide?
No, not quite.
Aw.
That was my number 9. Number 8. Movie came out in 1993. Book came out in 1990. It is our first crossover, Jurassic Park. So, obviously, it's the movie's great. The book is even better, in my opinion. Major plots are intact. Like all the major plot points are intact. Characters like John Hammond is a completely different type of person. And then certain deaths that happen to some people happen the same way to other people. In the book as opposed to the movie. Both are worth enjoying. I definitely recommend it. Especially, I think maybe 5 years ago, they came out with a special edition of Jurassic Park, the book, and it has a whole bunch of just like, because Michael Crichton's no longer with us, has a bunch of really cool extra, like, I don't want to say bonus features because it's not a movie, but like a lot of extra stuff. Really, really good movie. Really, really good book. For my number 7. Movie came out in 2007. Book came out in 2005. Book is written by Cormac McCarthy. No Country for Old Men. Not only is No Country for Old Men one of my favorite movies of all time, if you want, like, you're the type of person that wants to read a book or watch a movie that's extremely, it's almost like shot for shot. The scenes, the dialogue, it's almost like they just used it as the script for this movie. So if anybody ever tells you like, oh, I don't like No Country for Old Men because it's not like the book, they're just being pretentious because it's identical. It's like identical. That was number 7. Number 6. Another crossover. Movie came out in 1987. Book came out in 1973, and is written by William Goldman. And that is The Princess Bride. And I this was the first, like, whenever I started making this list, this was the first one I put on there. Only because, like, growing up, I was a reader. Like, I'd go to the library and pick out books, and I would read them. But they'd be, like, short little kid chapter books. When I was in fifth grade, my aunt got me two books for Christmas. She got me The Hobbit, and she got me Princess Bride, because I loved the movie so much. And this is one of those where it's like, I love both of them very, very much. They're very faithful to each other. Like y'all said earlier, Goldman wrote the screenplay, trimmed some of the fat, you know, from the book to the movie. And some of the side stories, which are definitely worth reading. But yeah, David was spot on. That's it. It's both of them are excellent. And the fact that it's just the way that it's presented in the film, you know, with Fred Savage being read to by his grandpa, it's so good. Just so good. Andre the Giant was absolutely brilliant. That dude was a superstar. It was number six. Number five, movie came out in 2000, book came out in 1991. Book is written by Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh. Ooh, that's a good,
that sounds.
When did the movie come out?
Movie came out in 2000.
Yeah, I'm blinking.
So it's American Psycho.
Okay.
Damn it.
Yeah, and I love American Psycho. This is actually, American Psycho is not my favorite Bret Easton Ellis book. The book that I like the most by him is a book called Glamorama. And if they have made a movie of that, I've never heard of it or seen it. But the movie is, people watch that movie and they're like, oh my God, this is so messed up. It's so brutal and violent and blah, 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 blah. The book is so much more over the top. The movie significantly reduces the violence and explicit content.
Because books don't have rating systems.
Yeah, which is kind of wild. and it's also a lot more, like, they lean into the insanity of it all. Like, it's almost satirical at points. Yeah, absolutely. If you watch American Psycho and you're like, oh, love that, want more brutality, read the book. Number four, I almost didn't put this on here because the author fucking hates this movie. But I'll let you guess from here. Movie came out in 1980. Book came out in 1977.
Damn it. It's actually in Ready Player One.
Yes, correct. The Shining. And it's the best part of that movie. Yeah, it's the best part of that movie too. The Shining, yes. It is The Shining, the book is way better than the movie, and I love the movie. So if you're going into it like, oh man, Stephen King hates it or whatever, that's fine, let him hate it, but they're both fantastic. And if you've read both of them, then if you've read and watched them, then you know that they're both insanely good on their own. They keep the basic premise in the movie, but characters change, themes change. The ending is significantly different. And yeah, Stephen King fucking hates it. And I'm not the world's biggest Stanley Kubrick fan, but this, in my opinion, is his best movie. That's number three. Or no, that's number four. Number three, a movie that I have talked about ad nauseum. It is in my opinion, like the next three, including The Shining, number four, three, two, and one, all of which have 5-star ratings from me on Letterboxd, movie-wise. So The Shining, number three, The book was written in 1999 by author Koshan Takami, and the movie came out the next year, 2000.
Hmm.
You'll know what it is the second I say it, but...
Hmm.
I hear you, Genie.
Is this the one that we just did a podcast on?
No, it is not The Audition, but it's the one we all almost did the podcast on, and it was Battle Royale.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, it's almost identical. It can, obviously, with the book, they go into the backstories of the character and the kids a little bit more. It's way more social commentary forward than the movie is. And definitely explores like the psychological exploration of like what the hell is happening. And yeah, it's the reason why it's obviously people are like, oh wait, they see Battle Royale after seeing Hunger Games. Oh my God. They're like, did they rip them off? Yes. And even if you, and especially if you read the book, it's even more of a ripoff, which is why I don't have the Hunger Games on this list at all. So yeah, that was my number three. That is a perfect movie in my opinion. Number two, and also another perfect movie, The Exorcist. Oh, I just gave fuck. I gave it away. The Exorcist. Book came out in 1971. Movie came out in 1973. One of the few, again, just like with Princess Bride. Same, you know, William Peter Blatty, the author of the book, also wrote the screenplay. So it's very similar. Not a whole lot of differences, just some character details. But one of the greatest horror movies of all time, one of the greatest horror books of all time. I definitely recommend it. And then, oh gee, I wonder what my number one's gonna be. Any guesses? I feel like I don't even have to say anything.
I would say it's probably Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Well, you're just wrong. you're just trolling.
This is directed by Peter Jackson.
Would it happen to have hobbits?
It does.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a
Would it happen to have two towers?
There are two towers. There's a fellowship. There's a return of some kind. And yeah, it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy. J.R.R. Tolkien, I don't need to say what the differences are. Everybody knows what the differences are. It's faithful in spirit, condenses and changes a lot of plot, no Tom Bombadil. Faramir is a completely different character, a bunch of action scenes added. Tolkien family famously hates it. But I'm sorry,
I want to do a deep dive. I want to do a deep dive of Lord of the Rings.
Is there enough time for that?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, we could honestly do it an episode per movie if we really wanted to. But I feel like
this is a bold statement.
Yeah, not only that, but like how, like you know, there's like only so much room you can do. Like I feel like we could do maybe like a 3-hour podcast for one movie.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we could. I'm not saying we should.
Yeah, fair. I will fall asleep during our own podcast, sir.
What were you saying, Jim?
My bold statement. I read the Lord of the Rings trilogy once a year. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my gigantic Lord of the Rings collection in front of me of all the books and my different variations of books and my biographies and my picture books that I have and everything. And Tolkien people hate me for this. I think the movies are better.
Oh.
I'm saying that with those three movies being, or those three books being, three of my favorite books of all time.
Explain yourself, sir.
Why do you sound like? Why do you sound like?
If they're not
Southern Bobby Hill.
If they're not better, they're as good. They're absolutely as good. Just
I will give you that. The better part.
Well, okay, I can.
You might get murdered.
No, I can see where he's so. Lord of the Rings is very good, the books, but as far as like if you're approaching it from like modern sensibilities, it is harder to read. I remember when I first tried to read it as a kid, I struggled with it.
Oh yeah,
just because it's a very old-fashioned way of writing. The guy is obviously like a master linguist. He knows like what he's like. It's very
well. I mean, he's establishing an entire world in his books, right?
Multiple languages,
and not only that, but more importantly, there's been nothing really like it before.
Yeah, but like to that point, it's the difference is that with the movies, it makes all of that approachable.
It's easier digestible. For people that just right. It's easier for people to understand. It's easier for people to see and understand how vicious an orc is. You know how gruesome the Barlog is. You know what? I can't remember the name. All of a sudden, my brain's out. But the walking trees. The Ents. Yes, thank you, Ents. You know, so it's harder for people to really grasp the full scope of these characters and beings until you actually see the movies. And so I can understand it from that point of view. But at the same time, you know, Tolkien's works, they were never meant for a young audience.
Yes, they were. The Hobbit is considered a children's book. It is 100% considered a children's book. In fact, here's why I know it's considered a children's book. And I trust me, when I was given to me in fifth grade, I had a hard time reading it as well. But when The Hobbit was written, it literally was passed over time and time and time again until a publisher's 10-year-old son just found a copy of it laying around and read it and told his dad how much he loved it. A 10-year-old. So it 100% is meant to be a children's book.
Well, but it's also a story that was literally just meant for his kids.
Yeah.
Like I got an excerpt of this. Like I think Christopher Tolkien was talking about it. Like how The Hobbit came to be. And he was just like, but dad, you said last time that Thorin's, you know, jacket was like blue and blah, 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 had like a silver tassel. And Tolkien literally just like looked at him and said, damn the boy. And then walked over to his desk to start like taking notes. And the notes became The Hobbit. Like that's literally how it started.
And it's like, I'm holding in my hand right now. It's a book. Came out a couple of years ago. It's called The Nature of Middle Earth. And it literally goes over how time works in Middle Earth, how vegetation exists, and in what parts of the world are these animals found, so on and so forth. Talk about the Silmarillion being like a biblical type text. This is like a geography book for Middle Earth.
The world
is vast.
But what I feel is that, and not to belittle anything that he did, obviously, because like I'm a huge fan. I think he did what any good storyteller does, is that he built the foundation and then someone took the baton at some point. Yep. So let me expand.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, all of the books, you know, because the books that came out while he was alive, Hobbit, Lord of the Rings trilogy, end of list. Mm-hmm. You know, he died in, I think, it was 73. Mm. And then Silmarillion came out in 77 based off of just texts that Christopher found.
Right. It's more of like a lore book than anything.
Yeah, like a history. Well, I mean, it's literally a history.
Yeah.
Literally the Quintus Silmarillion, the first part of it, is literally based on the Bible.
It's like age. What, the first age of Middle Earth is like
before the first age.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's literally the creation of Earth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how the gods came to be.
It's a hard book to read, but some people disparage people from listening to audiobooks. Get over yourself. Over the last few years, Andy Serkis has read all three Lord of the Rings books and the Hobbit and the Silmarillion, and are great. They're great to listen to. So if you ever wanted to dive into the Silmarillion, but like we're rightfully intimidated, that's how you do it. Listen to Andy Serkis read it to you.
Well, and there's also like, I think BBC like radio plays too.
My sister has the vinyl, the original pressing of the vinyl for it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Found it at a flea market.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things where, like, to me, the films were much more approachable than the books. I still really dig the books, and
oh, of course,
but I am perfectly fine. Like, I don't need a new, like, what Warner Brothers is trying to do with Harry Potter, where they're trying to like do a TV series that's like quote unquote faithfully adapting those books, because like, yeah, you could, but I, like, not to shit on the TV series that's coming out, but everything that's come out about it so far is just like the Temu version of Harry Potter.
I'll shit
like
on.
Like, I'm sorry.
And like, let's be honest, Harry Potter is just the Temu version of Star Wars.
Oh, no. That is
accurate?
You no.
It's Star Wars, Harry, with shitty lightsabers. Just
No. Harry Potter could be technically copied part and parcel from, no, like, Tales of Earthsea is one,
oh, I would say. Le Guin.
Let's see, hold on. Wand, lightsaber, orphans, you know, let's see, a female character, book, companion that's basically only treated as a sister by the main character while she struggles to deal with her love and affection for the scruffy comic relief. Yeah, okay, you're right. No similarities.
I forget her full name, Le Guin. Who wrote
Keen? Whoa, run that by me. Run
by Percy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm with
I
you.
I forget now. Her full name.
Ursula K. Le Guin.
Le Guin or Le Guin. Yeah, okay. He wrote. Have you ever heard of the Tao Te Ching?
Mm-mm.
It's the biblical text of Taoism.
Okay.
Which I you know, I recommend, if anybody's ever trying to search for anything spiritually, I definitely recommend it. But she wrote her own version of it, and it's actually quite good. And it's just mainly commentary on the original text, but it's quite good. I definitely recommend
it. Yeah, there's... Okay, so, David, Wizard of Earthsea. The story is set in the fictional archipelago of Earthsea and centers on a young mage named Ged. Born in a village on the island of Gaunt, he displays great power while still a boy and joins a school of wizardry, where his prickly nature drives him into conflict with a fellow student. During a magical duel, Ged's spell goes awry and releases a shadow creature that attacks him. So, like, there's just various...
The only thing that has anything remotely to do with Harry Potter is the fact that they're both wizards. It's not a lot of similarity school... there. And a school, okay, yeah.
School, okay, well, just hold on. Then there's... What is this? What is the Neil Gaiman book? The books of magic.
Look, you can sit there and talk all you want, But Harry Potter is just basically Star Wars.
But it's not.
But it is.
But it's not. It's, I mean, Star Wars itself is...
The only thing they
didn't
do was call Voldemort his father. That was, like, the only difference.
Let me ask you this. Did Luke Skywalker go to a school to become, what is it, in the Force? Technically, he just had Yoda as a teacher, and that was it.
Or maybe the crazy old guy that showed him the ways of the Force that probably was high all the time, a.k.a. Dumbledore.
Dumbledore was it? No, Dumbledore. Oh, my goodness. This. I don't disagree that Harry Potter is a carbon copy of different things, but Star Wars is not the carbon copy. Like, it just doesn't mesh up very well.
Except for the whole, like, you know, hero arc and
that's just the heroes. No, dude. That's just the hero's journey.
Right.
But okay. Are you saying Hermione is Princess Leia because he never falls in love with her? He falls in love with his best friend's sister.
Yeah. And who did
Luke Skywalker? Is that in Star Wars?
Right. Okay. So what was Leia to Luke Skywalker? Basically a sister, or a sister literally in this specific case.
Uh-huh.
And who is his sister? Who does the female companion of the trio fall in love with in both movies or both stories? The plucky sidekick that's used only as comic relief. Ron. Han Solo
is not used as comic relief, though. I mean, I get it. It's definitely like a thin thing, but like, I mean, like Voldemort as Darth Vader doesn't really make sense to me. It's just not lining up. I think you're trying to...
The dark side of magic has your control over you.
No, I mean, like, it's definitely like just a story, like at its core, classically.
Oh, I know.
Good versus evil. You know, the hero's journey, blah, 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 blah. But there's so much there that doesn't quite line up with Star Wars that's why I'm rejecting it so much.
You know, brooms, starships. Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that there's inspiration for everything, right?
No, I know.
I mean, it's, yeah. Obviously, you got sidetracked, but
no kidding.
Just because that comparison annoyed me for some reason. As a huge fan of like Harry Potter, before all of the controversy, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, like it's really difficult for me to like rationalize how they're similar to each other. I see a little bit, but definitely not the one to say that Harry Potter is a carbon copy of Star Wars.
I don't know. Hagrid could be
Who's Hagrid?
Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yoda could be Dumbledore.
I would say Obi-Wan Kenobi would be like Dumbledore isn't like I would say Dumbledore is. If we're talking book Dumbledore, right? I would say he's peculiar, but he's definitely like not Yoda peculiar.
I don't know. Powerful beyond measure in their youth. Dumbledore, Yoda. Full of regret of past decisions. Dumbledore, Yoda.
No, I'm still just not seeing it. I'm sorry. It's just not there. You know, Harry Potter.
Yes, oh my God,
I have to Google it.
I have a special mention book movie.
Book movie?
Well, I wanted to put it on the list, but it is a book based on a movie.
A book based on a movie.
So it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the novel. Because he wrote the novel.
Hey, those aren't allowed. Remember, I asked that question already.
Oh, no. I did not remember that. Okay. But they're two completely different things, but they're both very good.
See, this guy is saying that Hagrid is Chewbacca, and that just doesn't make sense to me. This argument is dumb, and I do not Voldemort is Emperor Palpatine.
Okay, so then who's Darth Vader?
Darth Vader is Snape, apparently.
Okay, now that our entire audience has committed suicide, let's continue.
No, this is dumb. I don't like it.
Okay, say your 10 movies. Go.
All right, so my number 10 is a part one of part two.
What?
There's two parts to the movie.
Oh.
Chapter one and chapter two, I guess you would say. Does anyone want to take a guess what that is based on what I just said?
Kill Bill.
Good, but not an adaptation as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I know.
Quentin only has... Well, he has... I mean, I guess you could say everything is an adaptation from something for Quentin. But technically, Jackie Brown is the only one like based on a book.
Yeah, it's It, part one.
Oh.
No.
I think that's like a part of the movie series? Fucking sucked.
No, so you're thinking of the Tim Curry one. The one that I'm talking about is the most recent one with one of the Skarsgård kids. I don't know which Skarsgård it is. I think it might be Bill Skarsgård. I don't remember.
It is. It's the one with the weird eye.
It's just... They progressively do weirder and weirder things. I think Alexander Skarsgård is he did Murderbot, and if you haven't read the Murderbot books, I really encourage that.
I've heard of those.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Okay.
So actually, that is a College Station author, by the way.
Interesting.
Martha Wells. So they did an Apple TV series for it called Murderbot. Same thing. It adapted the first book, All Systems Red. I know we were limited to like movies on this. I would at some point like to kind of revisit this with television shows.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Because I think that could be really interesting. But yeah, It part one, really, really good. And it made the second one all the more like what the fuck happened because it was set up, like the casting was good.
Yeah.
And then it just went in a weird, like, I think it just got too full of itself. I think at some point, but yeah, it's just. Yeah, It part one was really good. Number 9 and number 8 are both video game adaptations. So number 9,
Doom.
No, hell no. Actually, I would like you. It's okay. I'll just say it's not Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Well, you're.
It's not. The animated Mario Brothers movie, because
no, man, it's the live action Mario Brothers.
Yeah, it's got to be the live action one.
No, I love that movie. No.
It's definitely not that. I would say it's within the last 10 years. It is a video game and a really
Dungeons and Dragons franchise.
No.
Oh, okay.
I did like that movie, though.
I liked it too.
That's not That's not a video game adaptation.
That's why, yeah, that's why I'm not saying it. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Main character is yellow.
Oh, Pokemon? Detective Pikachu?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu was a great adaptation.
It was. Yeah, I will give you that. Even Ryan Reynolds' soothing voice as Pikachu worked
for me. I did not know how I would feel about realistic looking Pokemon.
But I think they did a pretty good job.
No, I know, but they weren't like as realistic as they could be. They still retained
the original Sonic the Hedgehog look.
Oh yeah. No, and this was,
that would be in my top 15.
This is a nice blend. None of the Sonic the Hedgehog movies are on this list because I never watched any of them.
I only saw the first one.
Oh my god, I am in love with the series. No.
I don't know.
It's really just me watching Jim Carrey be Jim Carrey. It's just fucking perfect.
I mean, David, I don't know anything about you anymore because you've got the Devil Wears Prada. Had Crazy Rich Asians, like.
Hey, that's a good movie. Crazy Rich Asians. I never read the book. That's why I didn't do it on the list. But the movie's good.
It's just a fascinating. I don't know. Onion.
I'm an onion.
I mean, you're.
I have layers, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're definitely Shrek.
Rude.
Yeah.
I did marry a redhead.
Yep. And you keep using that quote, which means that you watch Shrek at least once a year.
Okay, now I need a donkey. Who's gonna be my donkey?
I don't even know. We don't really have like a wisecracking person in our group. Do we? Jim, no offense. I don't get Eddie Murphy vibes from you.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
So number eight is... Gosh, I don't know if anyone of you have seen this movie before, but it is also based off a video game. It's technically, I think it's a VR video game.
Oh. Five Nights at Freddy's?
No, this is called Werewolves Within.
Oh.
Nope.
It's very good.
That's what the movie's called too?
Werewolves Within.
Mm-hmm. Never even heard of it.
Either one.
Are either of you familiar with like Dropout people at all?
A little bit.
Nope.
Do you know who Josh Rubin is? One of the guys that does.
Yeah.
So he directed this. Really good movie. I liked it a lot. Don't look up anything about it if you're gonna watch it. That's all I'll say. Number seven is a movie that Todd recently said that he hated in our chat.
That could be a lot of movies.
It's very recent, within like the last like 3 days recent.
Oh, yeah. Y'all talk so much. It's hard for me to keep up.
It's based on the book by Andy Weir.
Oh, The Martian.
The Martian.
Yeah, I never said Andy Weir. There's another book that he released that they're doing a movie on.
Project Hail Mary. If you want to go see that in theaters, I will see that in theaters with you.
Okay.
I'm really down to watch that.
Good. I'm pretty interested in it.
Did you read the book Project Hail Mary?
Technically, no. Audibly, yes.
That counts.
It counts.
Don't sell yourself short, man. That counts.
I said technically.
Yeah, man.
It's hard to read while you're driving. People get really busy.
Like, I'm just like, I try to read most of the things. I try to read physically. But like, dude, if you can't, because we have lives and we have responsibilities, like, what are we just not supposed to enjoy literature? So no, you're just fine.
It's like, you know, for some reason people get really upset when you're just you're reading a book people. While driving it's down I-10. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have no problems with audiobooks. I will say for me it is harder to I have a hard time sitting still and listening to stuff like that for long periods of time. So like, cause I did that with The Dark Tower and I could not really tell you a lot that happened in The Dark Tower.
It's mostly why I reread things because I don't, or re-listen. Cause yeah. There's a lot of times where I get distracted by whatever I'm doing. And then I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Especially the first time I listened to it. So I feel you there. I understand what you're saying, but I've definitely reheard a lot of movies, or not movies. I've reheard a lot of books just because of that.
And again, this is before the whole Neil Gaiman controversies, but they did a really, really good audiobook version of The Sandman, Part 1 and Part 2. More so of like an audio drama. Because it's got like sound effects and blah blah blah, but like
I've been really liking those.
Yeah, the Sandman specifically one is really good, because it's got like a killer cast. James McAvoy's in it, Michael Sheen, Andy Serkis, just like a bunch of really good people. So
there's a classic book, George Orwell's 1984, and it received a very similar treatment, with like really good voice, like actually well-known actors doing the voices. Andrew Garfield is the main character.
Yeah, I am interested in hearing the Harry Potter ones that are about to come out, because apparently they did all the books.
They redid all the books.
Yeah, so like, you know, yeah, you had like Stephen Fry and Jim Dale, like they did the original audiobooks.
Yeah, I remember.
That's
kind of how I read most of the books. Now
they've done like audio drama versions of them.
Interesting.
And actually, the girl who plays Hermione is the same one that's playing her in the show.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Okay, so number six is directed by Andrew Adamson, and it is not Shrek. I only say that because he also directed Shrek. This is The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Interesting.
If you haven't watched this version, I would say, first of all, I grew up watching the BBC version of these, of this book.
Oh my God, a memory just unlocked.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's hilarious.
It was bad, and I don't recommend anyone actually watch that version. But yeah, we had that like on VHS at my parents' house. So yeah. The more modern version is definitely a lot better. It is interesting. Greta Gerwig is doing a Netflix like adaptation. Like that's the next thing she's working on.
I'm interested in that.
I don't know if she's doing I think it's just Narnia. Like it is. I don't know if it's like The Silver Chair, if it's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Wow, son of a bitch. They got Daniel Craig in it. Nice.
What was that? What was the movie Daniel Craig was in that's like an offshoot of Golden Compass?
Yeah, Golden Compass.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, rightfully so, because that shit sucks.
I will say the show is very good if you haven't watched the show.
I didn't even know there was a show.
Yeah, HBO actually did a version of the show that actually went through all, like, they had, it's just called His Dark Materials, and I think I've got it physically if you want to borrow it.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything to watch physically on.
You have a PlayStation 4, don't you?
And that shit is packed up. Also, I need to, before I hook it up again, I do need to clean it because it sounds like a jet taking off when I turned it on.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what happened to mine at some point. Goodness gracious. Oh, David's got fucking 5 Audible credits that he could share with us.
Share? Why would I share with you?
Wow.
I'm the one paying for it, you bum.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm giving you important information right meow.
Thank you for your pre-order. So you're down to 4 credits now is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and look at the information. You wanted information.
I did. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. So number 5, there's going to be, I want to say, hold on. 1, 2, 3. There's 3 movies on the rest of my list that we've all talked about. So I will not go into them ad nauseum. But number 5 is The Princess Bride.
I love it. All 3
triple
of
us.
Crossover. Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, and then number 4, No Country for Old Men.
Hell yeah.
All right.
I did contemplate putting True Grit on here. But I will say of the Coen brothers movies, I still think like No Country has a special place.
Have you read No Country for Old Men?
No, Julia did.
It is the least depressing Cormac McCarthy book I've read.
Yeah, she said the same thing.
Yeah. Don't read The Road.
She went through like this like just like all over the place with like Libby, where she was listening to like all sorts of different things. Ooh, but
has she read Blood Meridian?
That sounds really familiar.
That's a Cormac McCarthy book, and it is fucked up.
Yeah,
like you couldn't make that movie.
She had a Goodreads up at one point, and I don't know if she.
Yeah, I'm friends with her on it.
Yeah, I mean, she would have populated it on there if she had. I'm still halfway through the Stormlight Archive book number 3.
It's such a tough read in some parts.
I don't have a tough time reading it. It's just I have it on my phone and then I have it on my Kindle and I just like
I get distracted with it. Yeah, I get distracted with other things.
Yeah. Number 3 is I'm going to butcher this as soon as I say it. Roll Doll movie.
Okay.
Jim, you should know which one this is.
So if it's Roll Doll, is it Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
No.
James the Giant Peach?
No.
Damn.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
It is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Fuck me. Completely forgot that one.
You forgot about that one.
Yeah, it would have been on my list. Sorry, Hidden Figures. It would have been on my list.
Jim's like, damn, I could have had 15.
Number 2 is a Swedish.
I already know.
Swedish book.
A Swedish book. Maybe it has a dragon.
Yes.
And a tattoo.
And a girl.
And a girl. Yeah. And possibly Daniel Craig.
that original trilogy, the Millennium Trilogy, I think is what it's called. Really solid. I didn't quite get into because like they had people like posthumously like decide to write as him or not as him, but like to continue the story. And I don't know. I mean, it's not that they're bad books by any stretch. It's just like, I would have been like interested to see him continue that if he had lived type thing. So yeah.
I at some point you kind of want to be like, okay, let it lie. It's
different than like Brandon Sanderson finishing Robert Jordan, like Wheel of Time. Like, right. Wheel of Time needed to be finished.
Well, it's the freaking 14th book.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I feel like it's going to be the same thing that happens with Game of Thrones. Is like someone is eventually going to finish this manuscript that George R.R. Martin has.
It's going to be freaking Brandon Sanderson.
Do you know what's really funny about that? There is a clip from, of all things, Logan Lucky.
That's a great movie.
It is. But there's a part where like they're like trying to negotiate like between the prisoners or something, and they're like, we want the Winds of Winter and Spring. I can't remember what the other one's supposed to be. And they're like, well, we actually can't do that. And he was like, they were supposed to deliver that manuscript 2 years ago. That was in 2017.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. I have a feeling he's never going to
finish. I feel bad for anything his like social media team like does. Like it, cause it's the comments are all about that.
Yeah.
It's just like Patrick Rothfuss and his third in the Name of the Wind books. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah. And like the other piece of that is that it's, I don't know.
Sorry.
It's why. No, it's just like at one point I had like plotted out like a trilogy for a thing. Like I had done a whole outline, and then I got about halfway through the first book and I was just like, this ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen. So like I shelved that, put it somewhere else. And now I'm just writing like a standalone thing just because like, I was just like, it's too much. I do think, not to keep quoting Brandon Sanderson, I just think his writing process is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, write three books before you get published, because then if you do get published, they're going to expect you to finish that book within like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, God damn, I'm struggling to get past the first one, but let's see what happens. Number one is obviously Lord of the Rings. I'm not gonna. I did have some like honorable mentions. Gone Girl was a really good one.
Never read that book, but the movie is good.
The book was really good. I like that one a lot. It actually makes me a little sad because I don't think she's written much else besides that. It's just like she did Gone Girl and a couple other books. I think Sharp Objects was another one that was really popular. And then,
I mean, shit, dude. Like, when did Harper Lee write To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, I completely understand. But she's, three novels and one short story is what she's done so far.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to open for the floor. This is going to be off the cuff. What are things that have yet to be adapted that we really want adapted?
I mean, it's only a matter of time before Stormlight Archive gets it. But I mean, but again, is it too big? Is it going to be like Wheel of Time, where it's just too much and the audience just isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, like they did the series for Wheel of Time, but it got canceled.
I know. I think it's
one of those things where like it has to be something that is an in and out adaptation.
Yeah.
Star Wars Jedi.
Oh, like Jedi Survivor, you mean?
Jedi Fallen Order, then Survivor, but yes, just Star Wars Jedi. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I'm honestly not. I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in a film.
So supposedly the very first adaptation, on-screen adaptation of him, is like a Disney Plus Lego Star Wars thing going on. It's still a voicing of the character, but Cameron Wiseman, thank you, Monahan. Like, he's a great actor, and if you don't know what he's done, like Shameless, Gotham,
Joker
as the Joker, just you okay?
Sorry, man.
Okay, just make sure you're just casually dying. No worries. I want to see him do the thing. Like, I need that. I need fucking part three to hurry up and come out. Like, I'm getting twitchy over here. Like, hurry up, Respawn. Let's do it.
You know, what's interesting to me is that the guy who worked on Battlestar Galactica is doing the God of War show.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know they were doing a show.
Yeah, and that I'm just really
there's a lot of
towards.
I mean, part of it is like between the success of The Witcher season one, Fallout being so successful, there's a lot of adaptations right now on the TV medium, the series medium, that is getting a lot of attention. Like Warhammer is getting adopted. Supposedly, same thing with a couple other longtime tabletop/video game mediums that are switching over to the TV. So I'm not surprised.
Well, and like, not to delve into like video games specifically, but at one point or another, and you could say like they're stuck in development hell, but
yeah,
there was supposed to be a BioShock film.
Yeah,
there was supposed to be a BioShock TV series.
Well, it was a film originally, but then they were like, "Oh wait, it's going to be too big. Let's go to TV series." It was supposed to be like
supposed to be a Ghost of Tsushima movie.
Movie.
And then I want to say that was who is supposed to be doing that? It's supposed to be someone really good. I can't remember director. Oh, well, I don't know about like really good, but the director of John Wick.
Have you ever seen John Wick?
I think John Wick is a great stunt movie, and it is a great action movie. If we're talking about like cinematic masterpiece, no, John Wick is not.
Hey, they did what they could with like what $10 million budget or whatever it was.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's like a great director. You know what I mean?
How dare you? Also, I 100% agree.
It's just. With The Legend of Zelda, that's they've cast Link and Zelda respectively. I don't know, man. It's just like,
didn't give a shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're supposed to be doing Claire Obscura too.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, yeah, I don't believe it.
I said Obscura. I'm sorry. I just keep calling it fucking Expedition 33 because it's easier.
Don't
do the French.
We're not gonna do the French culture thing. Hey, it's not even a French culture. It's an American word. It's an English word that was adopted from a French word.
I mean. You mean expedition?
No. Hold on, I have to look at it. Where's it? Claire Obscure is actually not French. It's a American, it's an English word adopted from a French word.
I mean, that sounds like the French.
My last one, I'll say the Great Tales trilogy. The Great Tales of Middle Earth.
I'm not, so like, I thought you were talking about Tales as in like Sonic and Tails.
No, I know where he's going.
No, Baron and
Lucy. I know where you are now.
And Fall of Gondolin, like, Baron and Luthien is, it'd be kind of hard just because they're like brother and sister, but they kind of love each other, you know, but like.
Hey, they did it in Game of Thrones.
I know. Children of Húrin is one of the most criminally underrated books of all time. It's so good, and it's like it doesn't end good, like all the, you know, the Lord of the Rings does. Like, that trilogy would be killer. And I kind of thought that's what they might do with like Rings of Power, is like just make it like each season like a tale of Middle Earth.
I had so much hope for that show.
I want it to be better. I
stopped watching it,
but it's like I can't defend it anymore. But I'm not gonna hate on it for the stupid ass reason that like these racist motherfuckers hate on it. But just like no. I just wanted it to be better.
It lost me in season 2, episode 1, when Sauron turned into like venom goo.
Yeah,
it was just like, and it was just like one of those things where I was like, if you're not gonna. I don't know.
It's just in the land of Tolkien, we're on a downswing right now. Because you have that, right?
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Then you've got that fucking giant disappointment called The Tales of Shire, the game, the video game.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, we need a win. The War of the Rohirrim was okay. Not
it was
great.
Okay. I don't have a lot of hope for the search for for Gollum, or the hunt for Gollum, or whatever it's called.
Oh, that game?
No, it's gonna be. You don't know about the movies that they're doing?
Yeah,
is this
I
like?
Do.
Is this like? Okay, I was about to say, is this breaking news? Because
I didn't know if they were for sure happening.
Yeah, they're starting. They're starting to shoot next year. Like Andy Serkis is directing. And
I trust him, I guess.
And Ian McKellen. I don't. No, let me rephrase that. It's not that I don't trust Andy Serkis. I just don't like, I don't trust Warner Brothers anymore.
There you go. Don't trust the studios. They care only about
money.
They're
gonna wheel out Ian McKellen
and then
CGI his whole face and shit.
And Elijah Wood.
Ugh, terrible. Look.
And allegedly Viggo Mortensen is like in talks to go to get in there.
Let's stop the podcast. Let's move
we need to have a Lord of the Rings centric.
We need it 100%. We've gone way off kilter. And
You said you're number one. Okay.
Yeah.
One of our dogs
is like having a panic
attack.
It's
mine. Yeah. It's
go cuddle your dog.
14 blind and dementia, man. What are you gonna do?
Snuggle.
You love that dog.
Snuggle the
you
dog.
Just love that dog.
I know. He's laying next to me in his bed, but he definitely wants to be picked up. I'll pick him up. Here you go. Have anything to say about Lord of the Rings, Barnaby?
No, Barnaby's good. He's like, I'm warm now. I'm good.
More of a C.S. Lewis fan.
Oh my lord! All right, well, thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm yawning as I'm saying it because I'm tired. It's been a long week.
Agreed.
Dude, it's only Wednesday.
Shut up.
Oh, fuck me.
Why'd you?
I just realized that he's right. It's only Wednesday.
It's supposed to be Friday. The fuck is wrong with you, Jim? Shit.
Well, it's the end of Wednesday.
No.
It doesn't make me feel any better because when I look at when I look at my schedule for tomorrow, it's just like,
how many
meetings can we pack in before Jeff leaves for Mexico?
and you're just like, this is pointless. This could be an email. This is a waste of my time. Okay.
Anyways, thank you all so much for tuning in. You all have a great night.
Peace. Okay.